You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You're listening to Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Lord John Budden to guide you through the action at Carlisle and at Wolverhampton. We've also got a meeting at Lingfield to come on Monday afternoon. We've got all three cards covered with Dave Kellner, Ross Briley and John Budden back in the studio on Monday from 1:40 p.m. But first of all, it's a very warm welcome to the podcast to Lord John Budden. How are you, Lordship?
I'm great shape, Sam. It's lovely to be here. And the horse has been going quite well and some really tremendous activity on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, though, it's been bad ground for weeks and months, John. Are we ever going to see the sun again?
Well, it's a bit worry. I thought for a moment that, for instance, Carlisle was going to have a reasonably good ground, but it's apparently poured with rain there over the last 24 hours, and let's hope that's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've even seen good in any going description anywhere.
Musselburgh.
Yes.
They say that they had good ground. Good to soft. And yeah. I think that's fair enough, actually. Musselburgh have produced some very good ground, and they had a very good trials meeting two Sundays ago.
Certainly did. We'll round up some of Saturday's action first of all, though, John. Another superb Saturday. And we'll start with the headline performer of the day, Silviniaco Conti, landing his 7th Grade 1 success for Paul Nicholls, and looked back to something like his best, John, a really pleasing round of jumping.
Yes, a really pleasing round of jumping over Ascot's very demanding obstacles, which was encouraging. And I think what was really encouraging was the way that he went clear over the last two and never looked like being caught. I thought it was a very impressive win. There are two sort of issues that arise out of it. One is the fact that the trip was a bit shorter, and I just feel in a way, apart from the Grand National, which is, you know, a one-off as far as distance is concerned, that that helped him at Ascot. He was able, or jockey was able, Noel Feely was able to know that the horse would stay the trip, and therefore he could drive on from the home turn. The other issue is breathing and wind operations. Now, Sam, do you think that trainers should declare a breathing and wind operation on the card?
It's going to be particularly difficult because there are so many different types of breathing operations and little tighteners. I don't know whether it would be feasible to declare everything, John.
Well, that's what everyone says in opposition. I think I ought to declare it.
Right.
Whether it's a soft palate sort of tinkering or a full-scale wind operation, it is really very vital to know. And transparency in the game, I think, is all important at the moment. Interestingly, Kim Bailey, who had a very interesting feature in the Racing Post last week, he came out in favour of declaring wind operations. It wouldn't take a great deal, just a little W in front of the name to show that there had been a wind operation or a tinkering. It would also be very interesting to see the number of horses by individual trainers who were given this kind of breathing operation. We do know that Paul Nicholls thinks a lot of benefit is obtained from wind operations. And you are right, of course. He just tinkers. It's not a full-blown operation, and probably almost all his horses would have a small W. But it is an interesting point. And Silviniaco Conti had a wind operation. Fortunately, we knew about that. And we also knew about Dinast, who'd had a similar one and ran fairly well, staying on strongly in the closing stages. But great run by Silviniaco Conti. And, you know, he could, if he goes to the Grand National, be a really serious contender.
Yeah, he's priced up at 16-1 now. Second favourite with us here for the Grand National. As you said, John, it could be a very serious contender. Should he go for the Aintree Showpiece? Would that be a good route for you?
Yes, very much so. And I'm sure Paul Nicholls will almost certainly go that way. I know he hasn't actually jumped over the major fences, but his jumping is, a quicksilver and very bold. And I don't think they will cause a problem. And, of course, he likes Aintree as a track on the Mildmay course and has always come into his own there after Cheltenham. So, yeah, I think he's a major, major contender for the Grand National.
Could be in for a really classy national this year, John, if some of the muted horses turn up.
Yeah, if they do. I mean, I think they will. It's going to be a tremendous race. And, Miniclouds, could he win it again for the second time in a row? Well, he could. Mm. I mean, he's a class horse and he's shown that he retains ability.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of the Grand National, then another horse showed his credentials on Saturday, and that was Bishop's Road for Kerry Lee. Now 25-1 in the Grand National market, who won, of course, the National Trial on Saturday. John, and Kerry Lee, I think, is that four Saturday winners in a row for her now?
Yeah, I think it is. It's quite unbelievable, Sam. You know, she's done amazingly well. We say, of course, that she inherited the licence from her a famous father, Richard, and so on. And Richard Lee did send out some big race winners and was a very, very good trainer. But my goodness me, he never produced the same stats as daughter Kerry. And, Mountainous winning the Welsh National. I was so impressed with Top Gamble when that scored at Newbury. You know, to have put Dodging Bullets, I know, running for the first time this season, but completely into second place was really very impressive. And it will be most interesting to know what Top Gamble's going to do for festival time. And now, as you say, Bishop's Road, who was a really convincing winner, had been two outings previously. I didn't go for him, in fact, because I thought Kerry Lee couldn't conceivably win another big race on a Saturday. And the second day, just a little bit disappointing last time out, but a very good winner before that. Yeah, who's to say Bishop's Road won't go extremely well?
Yeah, absolutely. 25-1, as we mentioned there, for the Grand National, if you fancy Bishop's Road. One more horse to touch on then from Saturday, John, and that's Raven Black, who landed the Kingwell for Oliver Sherwood. And poignant, John, that just half an hour before, lost Deputy Dan to a heart attack. Just evidences the swings and roundabouts of the game, doesn't it?
Absolutely right. Very sad. A heart attack, and down he went. Of course, it was sudden, so he wasn't in any pain or problems of that variety. Interesting to think that horse, Desperate Dan, was really top class 2 years ago, and then didn't seem to like fences. I just wonder whether there was something inherent going on during that period. Although he'd run very well over hurdles this season. Great win for Oliver Sherwood, though, by Raven Black, who's a useful hurdler. I don't think quite top class, but there are going to be some really big prizes in store for that horse along the line. And despite the, as you say, poignant tragedy half an hour earlier before the Kingwell, overall, I would think Oliver Sherwood would be happy with the way things are going. And Many Clouds' weight in the Grand National gives him a great chance,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was only ever going to be up £1, wasn't he, from last year?
Yeah, he's got every chance and he's running well.
Yeah, things ticking along quite nicely then in the world of Oliver Sherwood. Let's just go back a little bit further then to Victoria Pendleton at Fakenham, John. Obviously, she's still on target for the Fox Hunters in March. And whether or not she gets there anyway, I mean, no one can say she hasn't done a phenomenal job to get to where she is in such a short time. But an unseat on Pasha de Polder, who really was a pretty warm order for that race.
Yeah, it's a great pity, wasn't it? Because Pasha de Polder, regardless of whether Victoria decides to go as a rider, as you might say, for the Fox Hunters, I think that horse has got to have a win to qualify for the big race at Cheltenham. And it appeared that the Fakenham race was a really good sort of preparation, should have provided that win. Mind you, two things. I think Fakenham is a bit of a tricky track. It's by no means easy. I once commentated there, and you know, it's pretty tight, and fences come thick and fast at certain times, and of course it's a notorious place for chaps to take the wrong course. The other thing was, I thought the horse was going really quite well, and that Victoria appeared to be quite happy. I think Pasha de Polder was put off by the antics of the fellow rival. And I read in the Racing Post recently that, well, on Sunday, that it was thought that the camera showed that Victoria's horse, Pasha de Polder, had been hampered by a hind leg shooting out from the unseated rival. The Smith Eccles piece in the Racing Post called for another year, which might be the right idea. I think it's a little bit unfair to criticise Victoria for being loose in the saddle. I think she looks very neat, and I think she was just swinging along quite happily, and it was one of those unfortunate accidents. I hope that she does in fact go to Cheltenham, because I do think it's a tremendous effort, and I also think that her appearance at Cheltenham would, you know, cause tremendous interest and a certain amount of excitement as well.
Certainly would, yeah, and that fall might even help her a little bit in her development. I was having this conversation with Ollie Pimlott, who obviously knows a lot more about riding horses than we do, and he said that there's nothing more educational than your first big fall off a horse. You learn quite a lot from that.
Yeah, I think she will learn. And, you know, she's fortunately unharmed, and I don't think her confidence will have been shattered. And as you say, there could be education from the experience of Fakenham. And it would be unfair to criticise. In my view, she's done a great job, Victoria Pendleton.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. We'll move on now, though, John, to have a look at some of Monday's racing. Unfortunately, we've got a stalwart of Carlisle in the studio, so three races to come from Carlisle, and indeed one from Wolverhampton. But we start with Carlisle's 305, a handicap chase here over 3 miles. Seven runners line up for this Class 3. What's caught the eye here, John?
Well, interesting. A number of old friends here. Barra Fundle, for example, the Jenny Candish horse, almost certain to set a really strong pace, which is good. I do think these long-distance chases should be run at a proper gallop, and Barra Fundle will almost certainly see to that. One for Arthur is also in this race. I saw this horse win well first time out at Kelso, but he's been pretty disappointing since. And it has to say that Lucinda Russell's current strike rate not actually as good as she might like it to be, but her horses do tend to come to their own round about this time of the year, so one for Arthur can't be dismissed. Court Town Oscar set up a sequence in the autumn, but he was very disappointing at Carlisle's last meeting and will have to improve. The two I thought who had a chance here were Sue Smith's horse, Friendly Royal. The Smith team at Carlisle always go pretty well. This is a very consistent but rather slow horse from the stable. Was well beaten at Wetherby by So On Target, but could go quite well at Carlisle. The selection, though, has to be Alto de Mott, Henry Hogarth's horse, who ran extremely well in the North Yorkshire Grand National at Catterick last time out. Was only just caught by Lacamon in the closing stages. A slightly shorter trip here. Brian Hughes in the saddle. The Hogarth team generally running better than usual, so Alto de Mott would be my choice.
Alto de Mott then getting the vote for John in the 305. We stay at Carlisle now for their 340. The next race on the card is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Just the four runners line up for this one, but I mean, there's about a stone and a half between this quartet, but I think it'll be tighter than that in the betting, John.
It will be tighter than that in the betting. There's absolutely no question about that, Sam. And, you know, with one or two races with small fields at Carlisle's last meeting, but my goodness, they produced really pulsating finishes. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a small field. A question mark horse is Clondor Kempfer, who hasn't run for quite a long time, but was considered to have quite a bright future by Donald McCain. Possibly worthwhile thinking about, but a long time since that one's been on the track. Sasufi. Oh, dear, I do remember him beating the Napshade track at Sedgefield when it didn't look possible last year. Interesting, Sasufi has been entered up and down the north over the past month or so. James Hewitt has spent quite a bit of cash in putting entries in for Sasufi and runs here over hurdles at Carlisle. James Hewitt's horse is going pretty well, but I do think Sasufi could be a little bit outpaced on the inside. So we come down to two of the four. Maxi T has got to be considered as a serious contender here. Could well start favourite. Has been running extremely decently. Won at Kelso three outings ago. Then was in that good hurdle, handicap hurdle, won by one for Harry. Nicky Richards' horse, who actually ran quite well in the Moor Battle hurdle at Kelso last Thursday, and was second to a Minstrel's Gallery at Wetherby. He's got to be a major player. But those who have been to Carlisle, and I count myself as being a fair regular, will know that Pistol produces far better form at Carlisle than anywhere else. Furthermore, unlike quite a number of horses, Sam, he likes the inside track, the new hurdles course at Carlisle. And he started at an absurdly long price 9 days ago. You could have got 20 to 1 on the course. He eventually starting price at 14. John Dixon Jr., the son of the trainer John Dixon, who trains, of course, only about 10 miles from the course, he committed for home a long way out, but the further he went, the better he went, and he won by 20 lengths, absolutely head in chest. And Heartside was third. Heartside went on to beat So Satisfied at Catterick immediately afterwards, so the form's boosted. Whether Pistol will be allowed by Maxi T's rider to seize such a convincing margin, well, we've just got to wait and see. But I hope Pistol wins.
OK, Pistol it is then in the 3.40. The 4.45 at Carlisle is the next race on our agenda. This is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and a furlong. We've got the dead eight runners down to contest this at the time of recording. What's the pick here, John?
Well, the pick would have to be on form W6 times. This horse won well at Ayr last time out. Alistair Willans has his team in very good shape, really. Beat Titan Boy, had been running consistently before, will be hard to beat, stays the trip, goes in the mud, and the form would suggest that W6 times is going to be very hard to beat. New Year's Resolution could go quite well. Beat a horse at Wetherby called Johnny Eagle, who really did hack up over fences at Carlisle last time out. So you could say that horse for Simon Woff is going to have a fair chance. But I'm taking a little bit of an outside go here. I've been very impressed with the way Rose Dobbin has her team at the moment. The horses are all going extremely well. Rocking Blues has done me several good turns recently, and Johnny Sofa won a really good race just a very short time ago. I'm going to go for Golan's Choice here for Rose Dobbin. You might say the form doesn't look that great. Was third or fourth at Newcastle last time to Mystery. But I feel the team are in grand shape, and it could well be that Golan's Choice will run much better than he has done recently. Hard to beat W6 times. Well, have a go with Golan's Choice.
Golan's Choice then for Rose Dobbin and Craig Nicol getting the vote for John in the 4.45. We'll go over to Wolverhampton then to take in one of their races. This is the 4.20. 5 furlong sprint handicap here with 11 runners down for this class two. A very, very nice pot on offer, John, and it's attracted some useful types.
Yeah, 45 grand for a class two at Wolverhampton, 4.20. Yeah, it's going to be a very competitive race. And MWE, Mick Easterby, has sent two fancied runners here. Interestingly, they've both tended to run better at other all-weather tracks recently than at Wolverhampton. Bosham, however you like to call it, is going for a four-timer, having won three in succession at Chelmsford. obviously has to go fairly well, but is drawn a little bit on the outside at 9, which could be a bit of a problem. Also coming to the Tapita. Of the two Mick Easterby horses, I prefer Hoofalong, who returned to form at Southall last time out, beating Baron Babb's runner, and did so in good style. Philip Makin appears to have forged an excellent rapport with Hoofalong, who some while ago was an extremely decent horse and has come back to form. So of the Mick Easterby pair, I prefer Hoofalong. There are a couple of others who could easily cause a bit of a problem. Boom the Groom, for example, ran well at Lingfield last time out, fourth to Spring Loaded, and could play a leading role. And a horse who's been running in very good class company without much success recently, well, it's not recently, it was in fact in the autumn, is Fast Track. Was right at the back in the Air Silver Cup, and also ran down the field in the Portland Handicap. But he's been running when he's run in high-class handicaps. David Barron's had a quiet season, but this is a very fast horse, hence called Fast Track, and Graham Gibbons is one of the very best jockeys around Wolverhampton. Wouldn't surprise me to see Fast Track go really well, but I'll go for Hoofalong.
Hoofalong then for Mick Easterby is the pick in the 4:20. Just remind us, please, then, John, I'll summarise your four selections for the action on Monday.
Well, we're going to Carlisle for 3, and in the 3:05, Alto de Mott for Brian Hughes and Henry Hogarth. In the 3:40, the old favourite Pistol for local trainer John Dixon. In the 4:45, I'm taking a chance with Rose Dobbin's Golan Choice. And in the 4:20 at Wolverhampton, it will be Hoofalong.
Thank you very much, John. Enjoy the action on Monday.
I hope so.
And you can hear John in the Racing Radio studio alongside Dave Kellner and Ross Briley on Monday afternoon from 1:40 p.m. on Racing Radio. We've got Carlisle and Lingfield over the jumps and a flat card on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. So make sure you join us for all of that. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.